November 1st, 1889. Ye have done it unto me. Ellen G. White. We should seek to realize that when we neglect to supply the wants of the needy, when we fail to sympathize with those who are suffering and in sorrow, we neglect Christ and fail to sympathize with Him in the person of His saints. And when we minister to the needy and comfort those that mourn, we minister to and comfort our Lord in the person of His saints. Christ says to His redeemed people, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall be righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." The good works performed by those who are to be welcomed to the kingdom were done to Christ in the person of His suffering people. Those who had done these good works did not see that they had done anything for Christ. They had done no more than their duty to suffering humanity. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Good deeds are the fruit that Christ requires us to bear: kind words, deeds of benevolence, tender regard for the poor, the needy, the afflicted. When hearts sympathize with hearts burdened with discouragement and grief, when the hand dispenses to the needy, when the naked are clothed, the stranger made welcome to a seat in your parlor and a place in your heart, angels are coming very near, and an answering strain is responded to in heaven. Every act of justice, mercy, and benevolence makes melody in heaven. The Father from His throne beholds those who do these acts of mercy and numbers them with His most precious treasures. "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." Every merciful act to the needy and the suffering is regarded as though done to Jesus. When you succor the poor, sympathize with the afflicted and oppressed, and befriend the orphan, you bring yourselves into a closer relationship to Jesus. "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not." Then shall they also answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" Then shall he answer them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Matthew 25, verse 41-46. Those on the left hand could not see that they had abused Christ in neglecting the wants of His people. But they had neglected to do for Jesus in the person of His saints, and for this neglect they were to go away into everlasting punishment. Jesus identifies Himself with His suffering children. "It was I that was hungry and thirsty. It was I that was naked. It was I that was sick. It was I that was in prison. When you were enjoying the food from your bountifully spread tables, I was famishing in the hovel or street not far from you. When you closed your doors against me, while your well-furnished rooms were unoccupied, I had not where to lay my head. Your wardrobes were filled with an abundant supply of changeable suits of apparel, upon which means had been squandered which you might have given to the needy. I was destitute of comfortable apparel. When you were enjoying health, I was sick. Misfortune cast me into prison and bound me with fetters, bowing down my spirit, depriving me of freedom and hope while you roamed free. What a oneness Jesus here expresses as existing between himself and his suffering disciples. He makes their cause his own. He identifies himself as being in person the very sufferer. Mark, selfish Christian, every neglect to the needy poor, the orphan, the fatherless, is a neglect of Jesus in their person. If those who have no children, and whom God has made stewards of means, would expand their hearts to care for children who need love and care, and the assistance of this world's goods, they would be far happier than they are today. So long as youth who have not a father's pitying care, nor a mother's tender love, are exposed to the temptations and the corrupting influences of these last days, it is somebody's duty to supply the place of father and mother to them. Learn to give them love and sympathy. All who profess to have a father in heaven, who they hope will care for them and finally take them to the home he has prepared for them, ought to feel a solemn obligation to be friends to the friendless, and fathers to the orphan, to aid the widows, and be of some practical use in this world by benefiting humanity. Many have not viewed these things in a right light. Those who live merely for themselves will have no greater strength than is developed through self-serving. Professed Christians should cultivate more affection and kind regard in caring for others, and they will be richly repaid. God knows for what object we live, and whether our living is put to the very best account for poor humanity, or whether our eyes are eclipsed to everything but our own interest, and to everyone but our own poor selves. I entreat you, in behalf of Christ, in behalf of your own souls, and in behalf of the youth, not to think so lightly of this matter as many do. It is a grave, a serious thing, and affects your interest in the kingdom of Christ, inasmuch as the salvation of precious souls is involved. Why is it not a duty which God enjoins upon you who are able to expend something for the benefit of the homeless, even though they may be ignorant and undisciplined? Shall you study to labor only in the direction where you will receive the most selfish pleasure and profit? It is not meet for you to neglect the divine favor that heaven offers you of administering to those who need your care, thus letting God knock in vain at your door. He stands there in the person of the poor, the homeless orphans, and the afflicted widows, who need love, sympathy, and encouragement. If you do it not unto one of these, you would not do it unto Christ were he upon the earth. Heaven is for those who have been workers, those who have denied themselves for Christ's sake. No provision has been made for those who have ever taken such special care in looking out for themselves. The terrible punishment which the king threatens those on his left hand, in this case, is not because of their great crimes. They are not condemned for the things which they did do, but for that which they did not do. They pleased themselves, and can take their portion with the self-pleasers. Christ for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. He made a sacrifice that he might provide a home for pilgrims and strangers in the world, seeking for a better country, even in heavenly. Shall those who are subjects of his grace, who are expecting to be heirs of immortality, refuse, or even feel reluctant, to share their homes with the homeless and needy? Shall we, who are disciples of Jesus, refuse strangers an entrance to our doors because they can claim no acquaintance with the inmates? Has the injunction of the apostle no force in this age? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. I am daily pained with exhibitions of selfishness among our people. There is an alarming absence of love and care for those who are entitled to it. Our Heavenly Father lays blessings disguised in our pathway, but some will not touch these for fear they will detract from their enjoyment. Angels are waiting to see if we embrace opportunities within our reach of doing good, waiting to see if we will bless others, that they in their turn may bless us. The Lord Himself has made us to differ, some poor, some rich, some afflicted, that all may have an opportunity to develop character. The poor are purposely permitted of God thus to be, that they may be tested and proved, and may develop what is in their hearts. Some plead poor health as an excuse for not rendering to others the service they would like to do if they had strength. Such have so long shut themselves up to themselves, and thought so much of their own poor feelings, and talked so much of their sufferings, trials, and afflictions, that it is their present truth. They can think of no one but self, however much others may be in need of sympathy and assistance. You who are suffering with poor health, there is a remedy for you. If thou clothe the naked, and bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, and deal thy bread to the hungry, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Doing good is an excellent remedy for disease. Those who engage in the work are invited to call upon God, and He has pledged Himself to answer them. Their soul shall be satisfied in drought, and they shall be like a watered garden, whose waters fail not. Do not be afraid of good works. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Do not wait to be told your duty. Open your eyes and see who are around you. Make yourselves acquainted with the helpless, afflicted, and needy. Hide not yourselves from them, and seek not to shut out their needs. As you regard your eternal interest, arouse yourselves and begin to sow good seed. That which you sow, you shall also reap. The harvest is coming, the great reaping time, when we shall reap what we have sown. There will be no failure in the crop. The harvest is sure. Now is the sowing time. Now make efforts to be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for yourselves a good foundation against the time to come, that ye may lay hold on eternal life. I implore you, my brethren, rid yourselves of your icy coldness. Encourage in yourselves a love of hospitality, a love to help those who need help. You may say you have been imposed upon, and have bestowed your means upon those unworthy of your charity, and therefore have become discouraged in trying to help the needy. I present Jesus before you. He came to save fallen man, to bring salvation to his own nation, but they would not accept him. They treated his mercy with insult and contempt, and at length they put to death him who came for the purpose of giving them life. Did our Lord turn from the fallen race because of this? Your efforts for good may have been unsuccessful 99 times, and you received only insult, reproach, and hate. Yet if the 100th time proves a success, and one soul is saved, oh, what a victory is achieved! One soul wrenched from Satan's grasp, one soul benefited, one soul encouraged. This will 1,000 times repay you for all your efforts. To you will Jesus say, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Should we not gladly do all we can to imitate the life of our divine Lord? Many shrink at the idea of making any sacrifice for others' good. They are not willing to suffer for the sake of helping others. They flatter themselves that it is not required of them to disadvantage themselves for the benefit of others. To such we say, Jesus is our example. The poor, the homeless, and the widows are among us, and dare those whom God has made His stewards, to whom He has entrusted means, withhold from the needy disciples of Christ. If so, they withhold from Jesus. Do you expect the Lord to rain down grain from heaven to supply the needy? Has He not rather placed it in your hands to help and bless them through you? Has He not made you His instrument in this good work to prove you and to give you the privilege of laying up a treasure in heaven? Fatherless and motherless children are thrown into the arms of the church, and Christ says to His followers, "Take these destitute children, bring them up for me, and ye shall receive your wages." I have seen much selfishness exhibited in these things. Unless there is some special evidence that they themselves are to be benefited by adopting into their family those who need homes, some turn away and answer, "No." They do not seem to know or care whether such are saved or lost. That, they think, is not their business. With Cain, they say, "Am I my brother's keeper?" They are not willing to be put to inconvenience or to make any sacrifice for the orphans, and they indifferently thrust such ones into the arms of the world, who are sometimes more willing to receive them than are these professed Christians. In the day of God, inquiry will be made for those whom heaven gave them the opportunity of saving, but they wished to be excused and would not engage in the good work unless they could make it a matter of profit to themselves. It has been shown me that those who refuse these opportunities for doing good will hear from the lips of the Master, "Inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." The fast which God can accept is described. It is to deal thy bread to the hungry, and to bring the poor which are cast out to thy house. Wait not for them to come to you. The labor rests not on them to hunt you up and entreat of you a home for themselves. You are to search for them and bring them to your house. You are to draw out your soul after them. You are with one hand to reach up and by faith take hold of the mighty arm which brings salvation, while with the other hand of love you reach the oppressed and relieve them. It is impossible for you to fasten upon the arm of God with one hand while the other is employed in ministering to your own pleasure. If you engage in this work of mercy and love, will the work prove too hard for you? Will you fail and be crushed under the burden, and your family be deprived of your assistance and influence? Oh no, God has carefully removed all doubts upon this question by a pledge to you on condition of your obedience. This promise covers all that the most exacting, the most hesitating, could crave. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Only believe that he is faithful that hath promised. God can renew the physical strength, and he says he will do it. And the promise does not end here. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. God will build a fortification around thee. The promise does not stop even here. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If ye put down oppression and remove the speaking of vanity, if ye draw out your soul to the hungry, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, famine, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not.